Trinadapi sunichena taradiva sahishnuna amanina manadena kirtaniya sadahari. Hare nama, hare nama eva kevala. Kalo nastyeva, nastyeva, nastyeva gatir anyata. So we're studying the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, which is entitled Creation, Chapter 1, Questions by the Sages. We already studied the first two introductory shlokas, and this is the final of the three introductory shlokas that sets the whole mood of Srimad Bhagavatam. Okay, let's chant together. Nigama kalpat. Oh, we didn't do. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. All right, so let's chant together. Nigama kalpa tsoro, come on with me. Nigama kalpa tsoro galitang phalam. Shukamukad amrita drava sangyutam. Pibata bhagavatam rasam alayam. Muhur aho rasika bhuvi bhavuka. Wow, these boys are pretty good for not having seen it. Pretty good. Okay, please repeat. Nigama. The Vedic literatures. Kalpataro. The desire tree. So I will explain for the boys. Desire tree means here in the material world, you get an orange from what kind of a tree? Where do you get an orange? Yeah, orange tree. You get mango from a, right. So each fruit has its plant or tree. But a desire tree means whatever fruit you want, it'll give you. Pretty good. Could you imagine one of those here? You'd be a millionaire. You'd be a gazillionaire. Because people would come, all right, I want orange. Zoop. All right, now I want mango. Zoop. That's a desire tree. Yes, sir.
So in Gokul, Vrindavan also there's desire tree.
Oh, yes, that's where they come from. Yes.
Not just Gokul, but also Gokul, Vrindavan.
You mean in India? Yes, but you cannot see that. When you're on that platform, then you can see, though. Like the song of the six Goswamis, Vande Rupa, Sanatana Raguyago, Sri Jiva Gopalako. The Goswamis were on that platform.
Well, what about the, I don't want to say the regular trees, but the trees that one can visibly see?
Yeah, but they're not desire trees for you. You're not on that level where you can access that. That's the point. As I was saying, the six Goswamis were on that level. So they were able to access the Kalpa Vriksha trees in Vrindavan. Not me and you. To ordinary people, Vrindavan is one thing. But when you're on the level of a pure devotee, now you actually see the Vrindavan. You understand? Cannot see it with material eyes. Let's continue. Galitam, fully matured, phalam, fruit, shuka, Srila Shukadeva Goswami, the original speaker of Srimad Bhagavatam, mukhat, from the lips of, amrita, nectar. So let's look at that Sanskrit word. Everyone say, amrita. So mrita means death. Amrita means no death. So the real meaning of nectar is something which makes you deathless. Next word, drava, semi-solid. Now you Gujaratis, you like to eat that rus, right? Rus is semi-solid, isn't it? Yes. Okay, semi-solid and soft, and therefore easily swallowable. Sangyutam, perfect in all respects. Pibata, do relish it. Now, the word pibata actually means to drink. So, are you going to drink Srimad Bhagavatam? How do you drink Srimad Bhagavatam? Because it says pibata, it actually means to drink. So how will you drink it? Yes, ring your bell. Yes, you drink it through your ears. Okay, next word. Bhagavatam. The book dealing in the science of the eternal relation with the Lord. So there's your definition of Srimad Bhagavatam. So now you have the best definition of Bhagavatam. The book dealing in the science. See how Prabhupada is very, that word science, that's revolutionary. Because many years ago I was in Cal State, LA in Mrs. Wilson's class. And one of her adult students said, how can you say this stuff is science? Because she was thinking science means biology, chemistry, all these. And I said, no, this is science. How is it science? Because if you put into practice what it's saying, you get the result. That's science. Okay. So this is a good definition of Bhagavatam. The book dealing in the science of the eternal relation with the Lord. Next word, rasam. So there's our word, rasam. Juice, that which is relishable. Alayam, until liberation, or even in a liberated condition. Because Prabhupada teaches, right now, we're hearing and chanting and praying and serving. This is practice. When we are on the liberated stage, then we will do the same activities, but now it'll be the real thing. For instance, tomorrow and Sunday, there's going to be some football games. So all week, the teams have been practicing. But tomorrow on Sunday is the actual game. So what we're doing, chanting, praying, worshiping the deity, cooking, all the different things, we're simply practicing so that when we are actually liberated, those same activities will be done in reality. That's what's happening. We are apprentices. Do you know what is an apprentice? And apprentices in the ages beyond, in Europe, in the Middle Ages, young boys like this, their parents would send them like a gurukul, but it would be, this person would be dealing with metal. And you would learn from the master how to make different kinds of metals, or you would, and so that student was called apprentice. You were serving the master, and after a certain time, you also would become expert in that. So whether it be medicine or whatever, so many different things, like the Gurukul, that was the whole idea of the Gurukul. You send your, even Krishna and Balaram went to the Gurukul of Sandipani Muni. And they learned many things. So in the medieval times in Europe, the children would go to an artist master or so many different material masters, learn and serve, live there. And after some time, they also would become expert. Okay, next. Muhu, always. So this is why Prabhupada didn't like this Bhagavat Saptaha. Prabhupada said, no, you cannot learn Bhagavatam in 7 days. We're not Maharaj Pariksit. Bhagavatam should be always. It's like you want to do once, twice a week. Very good. Ring your bell. That's the idea. To be always hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. Next word. Aho. Oh. Rasika. Now, why isn't this going down? Hold on. Come on, you. Stupid computer. Those who are full in the knowledge of mellows. So mellows means the different relationships one can have with Krishna. That's the mellows. Like bhakti rasamrita sindhu. The nectar of devotion. The mellows. So some people are serving Krishna as servant, friend, parent. Gopis are conjugal lovers of Krishna. So that's the mellow. It's serving Krishna, but it has its unique characteristics. Okay? Next word. Bhuvi. On the earth. Bhavuka. Expert and thoughtful. So that's what we should try to become. We should become expert and thoughtful. We should become expert at hearing, chanting, remembering, praying, serving. And for the boys, you should become expert in obeying. You understand? You should become expert in your schoolwork. You should become expert. Should become expert in your schoolwork. And thoughtful. Thoughtful means that you do things with the word we use conscientiously. With thought. Don't just do things without any mental thought. When you do something, you should have full mental application. You understand? Thoughtful. Thoughtful means that before I act, let me think, what is the proper way to do this? What is the proper way to handle this situation? Don't just react. Think first and then act. Think first, then act. Okay? All right. Let's go now. Please repeat. O expert and thoughtful men, relish Srimad Bhagavatam, the mature fruit of the desire tree of Vedic literatures. It emanated from the lips of Sri Shukadeva Goswami. Therefore, this fruit has become even more tasteful, although its nectarian juice was already relishable for all, including liberated souls. Very good, boys. I'm very proud of you today. Very nice. Yes, the day will come. The phone confirms. The day will come when we will do this 7 days a week. Jai. So let's quickly go over this translation. So Vyasadeva in this verse is saying that we should be expert and thoughtful. And what should we relish? Srimad Bhagavatam. Why? It is the mature fruit of the desire tree of Vedic literatures. Vedic literatures are like a desire tree. You can get any kind of knowledge you want from the Vedas. But this Bhagavatam is the ripened, mature fruit of that tree. Meaning, nothing is higher than Bhagavatam. It is the topmost. You look at all the Vedas are a desire tree. Whatever you want to know, material, spiritual, it's all there. But if you want the ripened fruit, Bhagavatam. Then he says, it emanated from the lips of Shukadeva Goswami. So, Shuka. Shuka means parrot. Now, the parrot can do something. The parrot will pick at a fruit with its beak. And when he picks at the fruit with its beak, the fruit becomes sweeter. Pretty interesting. So Bhagavatam was already sweet, but when Shukadev spoke it, it became sweeter. Therefore, this fruit has become even more tasteful, although its nectarian juice was already relishable for all, meaning all kinds of peoples, karmis, gyanis, yogis, including those who are liberated. Shall we go to the purport? All right. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. In the two previous shlokas, it has been definitely proved that the Srimad Bhagavatam is the sublime literature which surpasses all other Vedic scriptures due to its transcendental qualities. When we see this word transcendental, it means there is no influence of the modes of nature. Boys, what are the three modes of material nature? You don't know? You've been to how many of my classes? Mommy, tell them, what are the three modes of material nature? Daddy, well, come on. Yes? Not Thomas, what else? Rajas? Sattva. Goodness, passion, and ignorance. You never heard that before? Am I that bad of a teacher? I've said it a trillion times. All right. The three modes of nature are goodness, passion, and ignorance. I want you boys to memorize that so that the next time I ask it, you will know the answer. The three modes of material nature. So transcendental means something beyond the scope of the three modes of material nature. Okay, let's continue. It is transcendental to all mundane activities and mundane knowledge. Mundane means material or inferior, mundane, something that's very common, cheap, unimportant. That's the meaning of the word mundane, boring. If somebody is an artist or a musician and the critic says his music, his artwork is mundane, that's not a compliment. If somebody thinks they're a fancy dresser and then the girl says, oh, he dresses very mundane, that's not a compliment. Mundane is a word that's used to degrade something, doesn't have very good quality. In this sloka, it is stated that Srimad Bhagavatam is not only a superior literature, but is the ripened fruit of all Vedic literatures. In other words, it is the cream of all Vedic knowledge. If you go to a farm where they have real milk fresh from the cow, and you get a bottle of that milk, on the top of that bottle of milk is something like this, cream. That milk is the best, and that cream is very good. When I was living in Vancouver, the devotees had access to one dairy farm nearby. So my wife and I would get bottles of milk, and you could see the bottle of milk was a glass bottle like this, and then there'd be an inch or an inch and a half, you'd see it right on top, cream. Yes.
We open that bottle and we
eat. Yes. Yes. My wife used to make sweet rice with that. Yes. That's the best part of the milk. All right, let's continue. So, in other words, it is the cream of all Vedic knowledge. Considering all this, patient and submissive hearing is definitely essential. So, patient means like this. You may not understand things right away, but as you go on hearing and chanting, later on you will have the understanding. You may not understand when you first read it, but if you wait some time, gradually when Krishna is pleased, He will within you give you the understanding. That's happened to me so many times. When I first joined the temple and the devotees were giving class and I was reading the books, many of the things I was saying, I don't understand any of this. Then later, as time went by, months, maybe years, one day I'm chanting and then all of a sudden, now I understand. Now I get it. Now I see. So, you have to be patient. All right. And submissive. Yes. Don't challenge everything just for the sake of challenge. You can ask questions, but you should be submissive. Submissive means like this. Say you go to a doctor. You're only going to go to a doctor because you know that he knows more about the body than me. You're not going to go to a car mechanic when you're sick because he doesn't know anything about being a doctor. So you go to a doctor who you know or you have faith he's a good doctor. So if the doctor says, okay, you have this, 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 and this, and the doctor says, now I want you to do this, 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 then you don't say, that doctor, I'm not going to do what he says. Why did you waste your time? You wasted your time. The doctor has said you have these symptoms, and the doctor is saying you should follow these rules, then you should do what he says, whether you like it or not. Otherwise, don't waste your time going to a doctor. So if you're going to spend time reading Bhagavatam, and it says, do this, this, this. You should do it. You should be submissive. Just like you two boys should be submissive to your parents. Submissive means obedient. You understand? Don't I always tell you that? So being submissive to your parents means to be obedient. So we should be obedient to Srimad Bhagavatam. Let's continue. With great respect and attention, one should receive the message and lessons imparted by the Srimad Bhagavatam. Now, next paragraph, which means Prabhupada is going to discuss something different on this verse. The Vedas are compared to the desire tree because they contain all things knowable by man. They deal with mundane necessities as well as spiritual realization. The Vedas contain regulated principles of knowledge covering social, political, religious, economic, military, medicinal, chemical, physical, and metaphysical subject matter, and all that may be necessary to keep the body and soul together. Above and beyond all this are specific directions for spiritual realization. Regulated knowledge involves a gradual raising of the living entity to the spiritual platform, and the highest spiritual realization is knowledge that the personality of Godhead is the reservoir of all spiritual tastes or rasas. Reservoir, the word reservoir, means a big, huge container. Usually a reservoir means water. So it means a great quantity of water has been stored for future use. Reservoir. Here in California, if our reservoirs of water become depleted, then we are in big trouble. That's why we're always worried, what was the rainfall for every season, every year? Because our water is piped in from elsewhere. So we need to have reservoirs of water. And if it doesn't rain, we're in big trouble. Because without water, you can't live. You have to have water. Can't cook without water. Can't bathe. Can't grow your lawn. You can't do so many things without water. So, the highest spiritual realization is knowledge that the personality of Godhead is the reservoir of all spiritual tastes or rasas. Meaning, Krishna can reciprocate with you in any way that you want to be with him. If you want Krishna just to be God as the great Almighty, Krishna can be like that. If you want Krishna to be your master, like Arjuna, I'll give you an example. In the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita, the relationship of Arjuna and Krishna was friends. But then when Arjuna fell into Maya and became overwhelmed by lamentation, Arjuna requested Krishna, I want our rasa to change. I want you now to be guru. Shishyaste hum. Shadimang tvang prapanam. So Krishna immediately changed and said, okay, this is what you should, and he began to speak Bhagavad Gita. So the rasa changed. If you want Krishna to be your friend, Krishna can be your friend. If you want to treat Krishna acting as his parent and Krishna now is your child, Krishna is agreeable. And if you want Krishna to be your lover, Krishna can agree to do that too. Krishna is such that he can be, or the demons. How do the demons want Krishna? They want Krishna to be their enemy. Therefore, Krishna says, okay, I'll be your enemy. Let's fight, and I'll kill you. Because that's what they want. Krishna is, whatever way you want Krishna, Krishna is willing to oblige. Shall we go to the next paragraph? All right. Good. Every living entity, beginning from Brahma, the first-born living being within the material world, down to the insignificant ant, desires to relish some sort of taste derived from sense perceptions. These sensual pleasures are technically called rasas. Such rasas are of different varieties. In the revealed scriptures, the following 12 varieties of rasas are enumerated. So now we're going to go into the 12 rasas. Are you ready? Please repeat. Raudra. Anger. Adbhuta. Wonder. Shringar. Conjugal love. Hasya. Comedy. Vira. Chivalry. Daya. Mercy. Dasya. Servitorship. Sakya. Fraternity. For the boys, that means friend, like the cowherd boys. Okay. Bhayanaka. Horror. Bibhatsa. Shock. Shanta. Neutrality. Vatsalya. Parenthood. So this topic of rasa is nicely explained in the Nectar of Devotion. So if you want to know more about rasa, that's the book you would read, Nectar of Devotion. Let's continue. The sum total of all these rasas is called affection or love. Primarily, such signs of love are manifested in adoration, service, friendship, paternal affection, and conjugal love. Those are your 5 main rasas. Shanta, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, Sringar. Okay, that's what those are. When these 5 are absent, love is present indirectly in anger, wonder, comedy, chivalry, fear, shock, and so on. Now Prabhupada is going to give a mundane example to help, because what he's talking about is relationship with Krishna. You want to ring the bell? Go ahead.
Shanta is adoration, is the same thing as neutrality.
Yes. Why is it called neutrality? Okay. Because you don't have any service, but you're appreciating the greatness and beauty of Krishna. Neutral means there's no service. That's why it's called neutral. But you appreciate or adore or have affection just for the fact that Krishna is God. So that's why it's called passive adoration or neutral. Passive or neutral means there's no service, but there is appreciation, adoration. You understand? Once service is added, now it becomes active. Okay? Shall we proceed? Aribo. Now Prabhupada is going to give a mundane, we already discussed that word, a mundane example. For example, when a man is in love with a woman, the rasa is called conjugal love. But when such love affairs are disturbed, there may be wonder, anger, shock, or even horror. Sometimes love affairs between two persons culminate in ghastly murder scenes. So there you have it. All of the Academy Award movies is that. All the movies made by Bollywood and all the movies made by Hollywood is all on this principle. Love affairs that become disturbed And then you have wonder, anger, shock, horror, or murder. And they get an Academy Award for their nonsense. Such rasas are displayed between, like the famous one, there was this movie Titanic. You saw? Yes. It ended in a ghastly scene. The ship sunk, so many people died, and the two lovers, Rose and whatever the guy's name was, and he's shivering in the water, and she's on the plank. He dies, she lives. She gets to go to America, he dies. Welcome to love affairs in the material world. Ring the bell. All right. Okay. Such rasas are displayed between man and man and between animal and animal. There is no possibility of an exchange or rasa between man and animal or between a man and any other species of living beings within the material world. The rasas are exchanged between members of the same species. But as far as the spirit souls are concerned, they are one qualitatively with the Supreme Lord. Therefore, the rasas were originally exchanged between the spiritual living being and the spiritual whole, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And this, once again, is another evidence, consistent evidence, why Prabhupada teaches we were originally with Krishna. Look what he says. These rasas were originally exchanged between the spiritual living being and the spiritual whole, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Right here. So here's another, and then there's countless examples of what Prabhupada teaches. Originally exchanged. So we had an original exchange of service with Krishna. The spiritual exchange, or rasa, is fully exhibited in spiritual existence between living beings and the Supreme Lord. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is therefore described in the Shruti mantras or Vedic hymns as, quote-unquote, the fountainhead of all rasas. Fountainhead means source, fountainhead. Where did this water come from? Did it come from a bottle? Where did the water come from? Well, sometimes people just turn on the tap. So the tap is the fountainhead, the source. All right. When one associates with the Supreme Lord and exchanges one's constitutional rasa with the Lord, then the living being is actually happy. There is Krishna consciousness. This is what we are trying to get. I'll read that again. When one associates with the Supreme Lord and exchanges one's constitutional rasa with the Lord. So, that means you have a constitutional relationship with Krishna. But you have forgotten it, that's all. But you have it. It's right here. Constitutional. Constitutional means it's there. It's always been there. Constitutional. Then the living being is actually happy. So that's what we're trying to do in Krishna consciousness. Trying to regain our constitutional rasa with the Lord. That's all we're trying to do. That's why Prabhupada says, go back home, back to Godhead, because you have your constitutional rasa with the Lord. Shall we continue? All right. These Shruti mantras indicate that every living being has its constitutional position which is endowed with a particular type of rasa, to be exchanged with the personality of Godhead. In the liberated condition only, this primary rasa is experienced in full. In material existence, the rasa is experienced in the perverted form, which is temporary. And thus the rasas of the material world are exhibited in the material form of raudra, anger, and so on. We already gave the example, the movie Titanic, but in real life, rasas are going on. Otherwise, nobody lives. Everybody's having some kind of rasa. You have a rasa, husband and wife, that's a rasa. You have a rasa with your children, right? That's the parental rasa. I have a rasa with you, master and servant, in this sense, right? So you go to your office, you have a boss, yes? There you go, master and servant. If they tell you to do something, yes, boss, right? I used to work a regular job in Westwood. So these rasas are there in the material world. But what's Prabhupada saying? They're perverted and temporary. Thank God they're temporary. God, supposing for eternity you had to work for, what is it you work for? Huh? Yeah. Would you want to eternally work? No. No. So thank God they're temporary. All right, let's go on. Therefore, one who attains full knowledge of these different rasas, which are the basic principles of activities, can understand the false representations of the original rasas, which are reflected in the material world. The learned scholar seeks to relish the real rasa in the spiritual form. In the beginning, he desires to become one with the Supreme. Thus, less intelligent transcendentalists cannot go beyond this conception of becoming one with the Spirit Whole without knowing of the different rasas. So, a point here, anytime Prabhupada gets a chance, we chanted his mantra, Nirvishesha Shunyavadi. Prabhupada's whole thing is to destroy and defeat Mayavad and impersonal voidist philosophy. So whenever he can, boom, he's going to give a punch, which he just did. At any place he can, he's going to smash Mayavad impersonal voidist philosophy. In this shloka, it is definitely stated that spiritual rasa, which is relished even in the liberated stage, can be experienced in the literature of Srimad Bhagavatam due to its being the ripened fruit of all Vedic knowledge. By submissively hearing this transcendental literature, one can attain the full pleasure of his heart's desire. But one must be very careful to hear the message from the right source. Bell, please. Srimad Bhagavatam is exactly received from the right source. It was brought by Narada Muni from the spiritual world and given to his disciple, Sri Vyasadeva. The latter, namely Vyasadeva, in turn delivered the message to his son, Srila Shukadeva Goswami, and Srila Shukadeva Goswami delivered the message to Maharaj Parikshit just 7 days before the king's death. We'll read about that at the end of the first canto. There are two chapters at the end of the first canto which talks about how Parikshit gets cursed, how Shukadeva Goswami comes, and then in the second canto, Shukadeva Goswami begins to speak. First canto is all sutta speaking. Srila Shukadeva Goswami was a liberated soul from his very birth. He was liberated even in the womb of his mother, and he did not undergo any sort of spiritual training after his birth. At birth, no one is qualified, neither in the mundane nor in the spiritual sense. But Sri Shukadeva Goswami, due to his being a perfectly liberated soul, did not have to undergo an evolutionary process for spiritual realization. Yet, despite his being a completely liberated person, situated in the transcendental position above the three material modes. Ring the bell, please. Mahesh, don't answer this. Boys, what are the three modes of material nature? Goodness. Mommy? Okay, so rajas means passion. Tamas means ignorance. Boys, the three modes of nature: goodness, passion, ignorance. Say that. Ignorance. Ignorance. All right? Good. You will learn by the end of the day. Goodness, passion, ignorance. Now let's see. Let's go back. Shukadeva Goswami, due to his being a perfectly liberated soul, did not have to undergo an evolutionary process for spiritual realization. Yet, despite his being a completely liberated person, situated in the transcendental position, above the three material modes, he was attracted to this transcendental rasa of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is adored by liberated souls who sing Vedic hymns. The Supreme Lord's pastimes are more attractive to liberated souls than to mundane people. He is of necessity not impersonal, because it is only possible to carry on transcendental rasa with a person. Yes, you're not going to do arti to the impersonal Brahman. You can't dress the impersonal Brahman. No, has to be to a person. Shall we continue? Ready, ball, good. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, the transcendental pastimes of the Lord are narrated, and the narration is systematically depicted by Srila Shukadeva Goswami. So when this word systematically, it means it's done step by step by step. Are you boys, you take arithmetic mathematics? Do you take any kind of math? Yes. So mathematics is a good example of system. So when you have a long column of numbers, you have to go 2 plus 3 plus 4 plus 1. You ever see those long?
I know that.
Right. So you have to go one at a time. 2 plus 1 is how much? 3. 3 plus 2 is?
5.
5. So you cannot just, you have to go one by one, systematic, one by one, and you can't make any mistakes, and then you get your final number. You understand what I'm saying? Systematic. Or when we pack up my equipment, right? My packing of my equipment is systematic. Everything has a tie, and everything goes exactly where I tell you to put it. Am I correct? That's called systematic. Let's continue. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, the transcendental pastimes of the Lord are narrated, and the narration is systematically depicted by Srila Shukadeva Goswami. Thus, the subject matter is appealing to all classes of persons, including those who seek liberation and those who seek to become one with the Supreme Whole. Next section. In Sanskrit, the parrot is also known as Shuka. When a ripened fruit is cut by the red beaks of such birds, its sweet flavor is enhanced. The Vedic fruit, which is mature and ripe in knowledge, is spoken through the lips of Srila Shukadeva Goswami, who is compared to the parrot, not for his ability to recite the Bhagavatam exactly as he heard it from his learned father, but for his ability to present the work in a manner that would appeal to all classes of men. That is called the art of preaching. Even Prabhupada said, "You take what you're learning from me and put it in your own words." That's the art of preaching. Just as Prabhupada did that. Prabhupada did not speak the same way as Srila Bhaktisiddhanta spoke. But Prabhupada got the essence of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta and presented it to everybody in the modern age so that they could understand. That's what it means to be a preacher. You don't have to recite it exactly, but you do it in a way so that it is appealing. Like Mahesh was telling me last time why he likes my classes. You remember that? Because I asked you. So thank you for that. That encourages me. Ring the bell. What you said last week really encouraged me. And that's why I want to come back every week. Yes. Let's continue. The subject matter is so presented through the lips of Srila Shukadeva Goswami that any sincere listener that hears submissively can at once relish transcendental tastes which are distinct from the perverted tastes of the material world. The ripened fruit is not dropped all of a sudden from the highest planet of Krishna Loka. Rather, it has come down carefully through the chain of disciplic succession without change or disturbance. Foolish people who are not in the transcendental disciplic succession commit great blunders by trying to understand the highest transcendental rasa, known as the rasa dance, without following in the footsteps of Shukadeva Goswami, who presents this fruit very carefully by stages of transcendental realization. One should be intelligent enough to know the position of Srimad Bhagavatam by considering personalities like Shukadeva Goswami, who deals with the subject so carefully. This process of disciplic succession of the Bhagavat school suggests that in the future also, Srimad Bhagavatam has to be understood from a person who is factually a representative of Srila Sukadeva Goswami. A professional man who makes a business out of reciting the Bhagavatam illegally is certainly not a representative of Sukadeva Goswami. Such a man's business is only to earn his livelihood. Therefore, one should refrain from hearing the lectures of such professional men. Such men usually go to the most confidential part of the literature without undergoing the gradual process of understanding this grave subject. They usually plunge into the subject matter of the rasa dance, which is misunderstood by the foolish class of men. Some of them take this to be immoral, while others try to cover it up by their own stupid interpretations. They have no desire to follow in the footsteps of Srila Sukadeva Goswami. On New Year's Day, one man, after the program, his wife came up to me with him. I know them for some time. She said to me, he's Indian, she's American. So she said to me, me and my husband are having an argument. He thinks that Krishna doesn't kill, because he doesn't want to think that Krishna does anything bad. He thinks Krishna is love only. So I had to explain to him that whatever Krishna does is perfect. If he kills, it's perfect. If he dances with the gopis, it's perfect. We make a distinction between good and bad, right and wrong, moral and immoral. But for Krishna, there is no distinction. I then gave him the example. We're on earth. What time is it now? Nighttime, right? If we go outside, the sun is gone to sleep, right? But in the morning, what happens? The sun comes up, exactly. So from earth, there is this question of night and day. But if you live on the sun, is there such a thing as night? No. On the sun, it's always daytime. So similarly, for Krishna, there is no such thing as right and wrong. Whatever Krishna does is absolute. Then I explained to the man that even if Krishna kills, that living entity gets benedicted. Whether it be Putana or whoever, anyone that Krishna kills, he kills them, but that soul gets liberation. So how can you think that Krishna's killing is bad, but still he doesn't like the idea that Krishna kills? What can I do? Shall we continue? Yes, sir. You didn't ring the bell.
Does he know that Krishna kills gods and other demons?
Yeah, but he still doesn't like the fact that Krishna kills. He wants Krishna to be only someone who loves.
That's incomplete.
Yes. It's called sentimental. Sentimental means childish. Go ahead. Let's continue. One should conclude, therefore, that the serious student of the rasa should receive the message of Bhagavatam in the chain of disciplic succession from Srila Sukadeva Goswami, who describes the Bhagavatam from its very beginning and not whimsically to satisfy the mundaner who has very little knowledge in transcendental science. Srimad Bhagavatam is so carefully presented that a sincere and serious person can at once enjoy the ripened fruit of Vedic knowledge simply by drinking the nectarian juice through the mouth of Shukadeva Goswami or his bona fide representative. And for us, that bona fide representative from whom we're getting Bhagavatam, and in my opinion has made it even more sweet, Srila Prabhupada. And hopefully, I can make it, hopefully one day, make it even more sweet. I will try. All right, let's chant the verse again. Everybody, repeat after me. Nigama kalpaturor galitang phalam shukamukhad amrita drava sangyutam pibata bhagavatam rasam alayam muhur aho rasika Bhuvi, Babuka. Boys, I'm really pleased with you today, boys. You are getting better. You are getting purified by this class every week. I'm very happy with you. Very happy. Very good. Please repeat. Oh, expert and thoughtful men. Relish Srimad Bhagavatam. The mature fruit of the desired tree of Vedic literatures. It emanated from the lips of Sri Shukadeva Goswami. Therefore, this fruit has become even more tasteful. Although its nectarian juice was already relishable for all, including liberated souls. The question by Mahesh is, what is the benefit of reciting the Sanskrit shloka? Because we do not understand Sanskrit. So why are we doing it? This is a good question. The Sanskrit language, by its very nature, is reformation. Chanting Sanskrit is purifying. And what to speak of the Sanskrit of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is most powerful. The same argument could be given, while we don't understand the Hare Krishna mantra, and when we go out on the streets, most people don't understand what we're doing. They think it's just a bunch of noise and gobbledygook sounds. And sometimes the people say, why don't you just chant Coca-Cola, Coca-Cola? Because to them, it just sounds like something hypnotic. But there is a difference between chanting Coca-Cola, Coca-Cola, and chanting Hare Krishna. Because it is transcendental sound vibration. So not only is this Sanskrit, which by itself is purifying, but this is the Sanskrit of Srimad Bhagavatam. Therefore, it is mantra. It is a spiritual sound vibration. And whether you understand it or not, doesn't matter. When we go out on the streets and chant, Whether the people understand or like or don't like doesn't matter. The damage is being done. If somebody puts a drop of poison in my glass, I don't know, but if I drink it, what's going to happen? Die. But I didn't know. Doesn't matter. The poison acts. So whether they understand what is Hare Krishna mantra, too bad. We are spiritual terrorists. We are destroying their material Kali Yuga by our loud chanting, whether they like it or not. Does that answer your question?